Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA number 19. I'm Kevin. With me, as usual, is Ken. How you doing, Ken?
I am doing great. How are you, Kevin? You're doing good, aren't you?
Yeah, doing good.
Let's just keep going back and forth asking each other how we're doing for a good 5 minutes here.
We did get a delivery that doesn't make me feel so good today. The lady's vehicle that she was in an accident recently, and it is sitting out on the street for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So before the charity company can come and pick it up, so it's just kind of sitting there, and it's just kind of like having a grave marker outside. Since the vehicle was dead, like, it wasn't really real for a while because it was at a police impound lot because the insurance companies were taking forever and a day to clear things up.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind. But now that we see it, it's kind of just like...
It's like a corpse in your street.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a car corpse in the street.
Yeah, it is kind of a bummer. It is almost like the car is dead in a way.
Yeah, it's not quite that dramatic, but it is just a reminder that we're limited to one vehicle at this point. And we work on opposite sides of town, so it's not like there's some easy way for me to go pick her up.
Right. Yeah. She's going to be able to bus it still? Or?
Yeah, she's bussing it.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, she's fine with doing it that way.
She seemed to be a bus aficionado in a way. Like she really knows her bus routes and everything.
Yes, she does. She is quite proficient at working the bus system. So, you know, hey, it's right nearby. It's not a 5 minute walk to get to the stop.
There you go. I saw you guys were getting some sidewalks up that way.
And we're getting sidewalks, which will make the walk even easier here in a relatively short time span.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, it'll be nice. I wish I would have had the use of those in my earlier days when I'd walk down that area to go drink. Would have been nice to have a sidewalk.
Yeah, that would have been good. It is a lot safer when there's a sidewalk, so that'll be nice.
Yeah.
For today's generation of young drunks, you know.
Young professional drunks like us.
You know, speaking of sad news, today might be a sad day for Yankees fans because it's the last day that Derek Jeter's going to be playing as a Yankee in Yankee Stadium.
Yes, and that was the one thing that struck me is I think he announced the retirement before the season. I'm almost surprised that the MLB didn't try to finagle it so that the last game of the Yankees season was in New York, to be honest with you. Like, I'm surprised he didn't leak word to them and they would have, like, set it up.
Oh. Yeah.
Have a little bit of collusion going on. Why have them end in Boston this year?
Yeah, Boston seems like... I mean, is it something where they kind of have the schedule worked out, like... a long time in advance, or
yeah, they probably would have by the time he announced that they probably did have the schedule announced. So
yeah, well, there you go. They may have made some.
I'm trying to add a layer of evil here that does not exist.
You're like analyzing the schedule to see if there's any hidden conspiracies at work. No, I guess. Well, we watched a. Commentary by Keith Olbermann.
Yes, which, as usual, will be accompanying in a link of some manner in the write-up here.
Yeah, and to me, pardon the pun, but this seemed to be right in his wheelhouse in terms of, like, I think he really likes to go after somebody, and he felt like this was, like, one right where he likes it over the plate, where he could just kind of really tee off on it. Because he had a lot of stats to back up his claims that Derek Jeter is really overrated, basically. Or over-celebrated, at least.
Right, yeah, and As usual in a stat festival, sometimes you can be selective. Right. Although he certainly tried to cover various metrics.
Yeah, like I'm not really that familiar with baseball, so I had to ask you what a couple things meant when we were watching that video. But the thing that really stuck out to me is like I'm not a huge, like I said, baseball fan. I've heard people talk about him being a great shortstop. But the one stat that he showed that really was damning to me was that, like, he is, if you were to take, like, the average Joe baseball player of average skill.
Right.
He would actually do worse than that average player for his career by a good bit.
Yeah, his defensive numbers now. And that's the one thing. The defensive numbers tend to be less reliable.
Yeah.
Because it still depends a lot upon, assignment of blame to a certain extent.
Is it his fault, really? Like, sometimes it's a judgment call, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and honestly, you could call an error, but sometimes there's just nothing you can really do about it. Like, there are some that you just go, you blew it. And there are others where you get a bad hop off the infield or something like that, that it really isn't much of your fault. Like, maybe you tried to get a hold of it and you couldn't quite do it.
Is that called an error, then?
Sometimes.
I always think it's funny they have something that's called an error. That's, like, such a, like, vague term to me. It's like... And strangely, like, clinical. It's like, you have committed an error. And someone's, like, writing something... And someone is writing something down on a clipboard.
Yeah, they literally do that. I used to do that myself, actually. You know, for the game post when I was announcing in Little League. And when I go to Pirates games, I did it sometimes, too. Like, I kept track of the game score in a little scorebook.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would have to pencil in some errors from time to time.
Because there's something that looks like a kind of a bowling spreadsheet, you know, score sheet.
Yeah, a bowling spreadsheet. That kind of works for...
That you keep track of the game's progress on.
Yeah.
Outs and runs.
Hits. Errors.
Yeah.
The whole nine yards.
So, would your stats ever differ from the official stats? And if so, did you ever file a formal complaint?
I am sure that they differed at some point, and no, I never filed a formal complaint. I was pretty sure even at that point.
Do you still have these records?
No, I do not. Unless Midge has them somewhere tucked away in the, DeFrango, compound. But I haven't seen them, so I'm pretty sure that, they have been,
They're gone, yes.
Yeah, they're in Landway somewhere. I don't think they were probably recycled quite at that point.
Pre-recycling, you're saying. You know, I do think, though, that Altoona, Pennsylvania, PA, if you will, was early... They jumped on board the recycling a little earlier, I think. Am I wrong?
In some ways, we recycled the aluminum cans a lot.
Yeah, I remember. Because
we'd have to crush them and put them in a bag, and we'd put them in the garage, and then
we could get money for them, right?
Yeah, and then we'd take them down to the guy that gave you money for them. So
they would weigh them, and still a thing, I guess. I don't know what aluminum prices are like, if it's worthwhile or not, but it's been a while since I've.
Yeah, I had a company, Ron, on a run somewhat recently, probably within the last couple of years.
Oh, your dad is still collecting them?
Yeah.
Turning them in?
Wow. Yeah.
You know what? Why not, I guess?
it doesn't hurt. They have plenty of room.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, that's all to the good, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a win-win, if you will.
Yeah, and that was, the one thing that, Derek Jeter did do.
Oh, nice. I like how you turn it back. That's good.
was win-win, which is kind of, that was kind of funny because that honestly would have been, and that's where to me he was cherry picking the data a little bit, because he kind of blew over Jeter's contributions during the years that the Yankees won World Series, because they said that he won four in his first 5 years, and then one in the final 14 years of his career.
Right.
Kind
of asking the question, was it really him that was the deciding factor in that team, or was it maybe some of, you know, all the other people on the team?
Right. And I thought that, you know, some of the other cases, like when we looked at Lionel Messi, they kind of compared him with his the Argentina team and with his league team, Barcelona. So, like, they had two different bases to work off of, and they kind of covered all their ground. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to the question, but I'm not sure how important of a cog he was. I think he's batted number two his whole career. So, he probably scored a lot of runs, and he probably got on base a lot that time, you know. Your job as the number two hitter is not to be the power hitter. It's not to be, well, I guess you're going to steal some bases. But you're just supposed to be kind of a contact guy. Like, much is expected out of the two hitter, to be honest with you.
You know what? I guess that's a question I wasn't sure about, because the batting order, I don't understand what the importance of that is. Like, the higher you are, is that supposed to be, you'll probably get a chance to bat more often? Is that the idea?
Yeah, because they've proven that, you know, the leadoff hitter hits the most often just because he's at the top of it. And then it drops off. You know, the first three hitters hit pretty close, and then things really start to drop off after that in terms of number of at-bats per game.
You know what? That's interesting, because it reminds me of, this is a little sidebar, I guess, but there's a number technique that works out to be true, and it seems counterintuitive. But, like, if, say, you know, you're looking at a database for a company, and you're trying to find out if there's forged records, you know, financial data, they can use this property of numbers, and that is that, in general, there are more like digits that are lower digits than there are higher digits. Like, there's more ones than there are nines.
Oh. Okay.
Just because of how numbers tend to work, that's just, you know, and it's kind of like how number one in the order, you're going to come up more often.
Yeah, and if you're number nine, you're going to come up less often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that works out to be true. So, like, if you find that distribution isn't true, then you could say that, okay, so people are just throwing random numbers in here because it's not what you would expect to see in terms of distribution.
So, gotcha.
You know, it's still related to our geeky stat section here. But
well, and I mean, I guess that is one of those things, though, too, is that I kind of argued for the he isn't that great, but just kind of went at it at a different angle. Like, the number two hitter isn't, the leadoff guy is usually the fast guy who can definitely steal bases, and he gets on base pretty often. The number two guy sometimes moves the number one guy along. Now, that isn't quite that used to be more the strategy when I was younger. I don't think that they use it as much anymore. There's a lot of bunting out of the number two hole when I was a kid.
Well, that does help the guy along, though, doesn't it?
It does. But that's
because
one of those
things. If you get on base, then he at least gets to second, then, if I'm understanding correctly.
Well, yeah, that's the purpose.
You can't just hold hands and stay on the same base, as far as I know. that would be lovely, but
yeah, but that's one of those things that, and that was kind of the other funny thing when I heard the argument about this argument this morning, because the guy was defending Jeter, which made me laugh.
Who was defending Jeter?
Jim Norton on the Opie and Jim show.
Okay.
Now, because A, he hated Jeter for a really long time because he didn't sign an autograph one time.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. So to have him kind of reverse when because he hates Keith Olbermann even more was kind of funny, just to hear the whole rant from that perspective.
Oh. It's because they played it on the show, I guess? Is that?
Yeah, they played it on the show. So, I mean, I actually, until we just watched it as a refresher down here, I hadn't actually seen the clip. I heard, you know, it was all ear power.
Sure.
But, you know, it didn't change the impact of anything. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of arguing for it in a different way. Like, the number three hitter, at least more, your best hitter used to be, at least when I was younger, your best hitter always used to be number four, because they thought you could get three guys on base, so you have, you know, the ducks on the pond, and then the number four guy comes up and he, you know, gets all the glory because he gets to drive everyone in.
But then you might also have a situation where the first three guys get out, and then you don't even get to go up.
And he is essentially a leadoff hitter. So, yeah, now most teams bat their best batter number three because he's guaranteed to come up in the first inning.
That's smart. I like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there has been a switch in philosophy. And, I mean, even with Jeter, that's the other thing, is that, to me, he wasn't one of those guys that, I'm sure he did some sacrificing, but, you know, you don't have a 300-some-odd career batting average, and he does have a poop ton of hits. I forget how many it is. I mean, he's still behind Pete Rose by a good, you know, couple of barrels. Like, it's almost impossible to catch up with Pete Rose.
So how many... I'm sorry, but for our listeners who maybe aren't familiar, do you know how can you tell us how many hits are in a barrel? If he's a couple barrels behind, I'm just trying to get a feel for the relative, you know, numbers here. But, yeah, I don't know. In terms of our geeky sports series here, mini-series, if you will, I think that it calls to mind Mike Trout, the other baseball player that we've talked about, who has these really unbelievable stats for, you know, a second-year player now?
Third.
Third year?
Yeah.
So he just came in and started crushing it, basically. And most people haven't heard of him. But everybody knows who Derek Jeter is. And really, stats-wise, maybe he's not that special.
Right, and that's why I said, too, that...
If he is special, he's not, like, one of the greatest ever.
No, he is well below a whole lot of Yankees. Like, I even think that the Yankees that Olbermann used in his was probably a shorter list of important Yankees than was possible. Because I don't think he had Reggie Jackson on there anywhere. Speaking of, since you showed me the clip of Reggie Jackson in basketball a little bit earlier there, too. So
funny.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
I don't think he was in that list, no.
Yeah, he wasn't in any of those lists. Now, I don't think he played there as long as some of those other players, because I think he did play for a couple of teams.
He did list A-Rod. I feel like against his... better judgment, he listed A-Rod.
Well, and that was the one thing that infuriated Jim, too, because a lot of those numbers are regular season numbers. He didn't separate out the postseason numbers from the regular season numbers, which is another little thing that, and again, I don't really know the answer to it. But, you know, you can kind of play with numbers and figure out which ones work in the favor of your argument and use those ones without kind of looking at the whole thing. Like I said, I have no idea what he did for the winning teams.
That's true. And I can definitely see Keith Olbermann kind of picking stats that would be good for him to make his argument. But
And he did make it. The other thing, to me, there were just some things that you knew that... A lot of it, to me, you could tell he was doing it just to get under people's skin, like, because he was even laughing and cracking jokes about it. So it's just like, okay, I know some people are going to get their dander up about this, and he did his job, really.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, somewhat entertaining. Maybe juvenile with the Photoshop pictures of Derek Jeter that he was putting up to go along with his commentary. Him sprouting angel wings, I thought was a pretty good one.
Yeah, he had a couple of metaphors in there. And, evidently, a couple of barrelfuls is around, well, it's just under 800 hit difference between Pete Rose. And Jeter is number six all time.
So we're talking maybe 400 hits in a barrel, it sounds like.
Yeah, something like that.
Right around there, on average. Okay. I understand, you know, some barrels might be able to, you know, it's by weight, not volume, is what I'm saying. Some settling may occur.
Oh, man. Well, there is certainly an issue that does not seem to be settling itself.
Oh, to the another side of the sports world.
Yeah, and not geeky stats oriented one at that matter. And I do believe I just saw the headline from Yahoo Sports that it the Ray Rice video was sent to NFL security chief in April.
Yes.
Which evidently is not going to keep things out of the NFL is doing a poor job of trying to keep this out of the headlines.
Right. Yeah.
They have really screwed the pooch in every imaginable way in this one.
Oh yeah. But the article that I had forwarded you, and this is just, like we say, breaking news today with the as we record.
Yeah, we keep it up to date here, man.
That's right. Only the latest and greatest. this thing with the NFL themselves having known, but it the other article I showed or that I saw was saying that the Ravens organization knew about it and tried to undersell it to the NFL, basically, and try to make it out to be not a big deal. But now it seems like the NFL could have seen the tape anyway and saw, you know, what happened. So,
I don't know. Yeah, it's...
I think Bill Simmons might have been right, it sounds like.
Well, you're just trying to talk... Well, and all these topics do tie in.
Yeah.
Honestly, because... and that's why I kind of thought about that, the newest news, because it, was on Friday that ESPN's report hit that, that the Ravens tried to, kind of keep things, under the rug for the most part. The only, they mentioned that, John Harbaugh, the coach, was... And the only guy that wanted to get rid of Rice right away.
Yeah.
Well, like, they said two people, and then they never mentioned a second person.
Yeah, it sounded like this information, you know, I guess Ray Rice must have called the team and told them about it. And then they had a meeting, and it sounded like the owners and, you know, management wanted to... you know, keep him on and try to minimize the punishment, it sounded like. But
right.
Yeah, like you say, the coach was the only one who wanted to get rid of him. But then later he said that they made a group decision and blah, blah, blah. So,
well, he's saying what he needs to say. When you answer the question that way to me, in my humble opinion, and I will not get in trouble with a stunt granny corp owner.
Yeah, until we... Yeah.
Well, you need Stunt Granny Limited owner.
No, you need to throw in something about... you hope that somebody says something to you because... I hope Jeremy says something because...
I hope Jeremy suspends me.
Because I want to go public. And I don't care. I get to say this. We get to say this on our podcast.
This is mine, Maze. It's mine.
Wait for that to hit airwaves. That's going to be explosive.
The poop is going to hit the fan.
So, I think that it looks bad for everybody involved now. So, I don't know if people are just going to sweep this under the rug or if people are going to forget about this as the season goes on. But it definitely seems to be a drumbeat that I think they're going to get rid of this commissioner here. That's my prediction.
Well, that is kind of the interesting thing in this whole thing, because there are a lot of things that that I do think that people are jumping to conclusions on. I have no idea how their relationship is. That was one horrific moment. And I mean, we were talking about it before we started the show.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll tell the story that, because we really did start talking about this topic last week. I have had an ex-girlfriend punch me.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Hey, Kevin, can I talk to you at a party at my house?" I was probably 20 or 21, something in that area. And then she just hauled off and punched me after she had brought me over to a bit of a secure location. I got punched because I feel like you're going to ask.
Yeah, there was a reason for the punch, I'm assuming.
Yes, I had told her that I loved her, and evidently, and I do actually remember doing that, because I immediately was like, what the fuck just came out of my mouth? And I'm like, I can't back this up. I can't go, "Oh no, I didn't mean that."
So, what you guys were, like, talking about the weather or something, and then you just blurt this out, or...?
I think I was leaving the phone conversation, like, getting ready to hang up with her, and I think it just came out, like, one of those, like, kind of goodbye comments, like, when you're dating someone.
Okay.
Or you're married or something, "Love you, hon," and you just kind of hang up. And I think that's what happened, is that I was getting ready to hang up, and I went with that. I was like, "Oh my God, like, this was not a good idea." And then subsequently, not all that much longer, I broke up with her. And she was not pleased with this change in attitudes.
Yeah, okay. Well, still, I'm going to go out and say that this was not appropriate for her to punch you.
Yeah, and I did not punch her back. I did push her, and then some other females at the party helped to restrain her from any further damage to yours truly. So, there was that. So, I mean, I don't understand his reaction in any way, shape, or form, because she never hauled off on him.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, people, there's people who have anger issues, and, you know, that they kind of just explode, and, you know, it sounds like he was definitely intoxicated at the time.
Well, yeah, they've both admitted that they were drinking, so I mean, that isn't that isn't speculation at all. So I mean, and that is the other thing, is that dumb things definitely happen when you're drinking. And I do think that at that point the party had just started, and I was somewhat sober. So, you know, depending upon what level of drunk he was, would I have had a different reaction if I had been more drunk? Like, they didn't take a blood alcohol on him or anything like that, so you can't say how smashed he was when this occurred.
Yeah. Well, you should know that you're not supposed to hit people. I think that's good to remember.
Yeah, it is good to remember.
But Now, I'm curious. Did she hit you in the face or the gut?
Face.
Wow. Yeah, that's hard.
She was a little bit shorter than me, so she had to kind of jump a little bit to...
sort of like a Mike Tyson's punch out.
Yeah, kind of like Little Mac.
Yeah.
Little Mac jab. Yeah.
I gotcha. So it wasn't a start punch. It was a jab.
Yeah, I don't... it might have been her star punch, but I guess in relative terms, I was Mike Tyson and she was still Little Mac. But you can't take Mike Tyson out with one of those, could you?
Oh, no. You couldn't take out most people in that game, as I remember, with one punch. But, yeah, so... wanted to get in, because we were making fun earlier, that... Bill Simmons, the sports guy.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy who runs Grantland.com was suspended by ESPN, who is his employer, because he said that Roger Goodell was a liar. And now with this breaking news, it actually seems that Roger Goodell may indeed be a liar. So I wonder if he'll get an apology. What do you think?
Well, I wonder if he'll get the... Because that was funny. After you sent me that, I didn't link it to an extra one. It was the 19 tweets you need to see that... I guess there was a Free Simmons hashtag going around the internet.
I didn't see that one.
No. Yeah, on the Twitter. And I could have included that, but some of them were pretty damn funny. But they were just talking about the different suspension lengths. Like, they were joking that Ray Rice got less time for his initial conduct than Bill Simmons did for saying something.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, because originally Ray Rice only was given 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, it was the 2 weeks.
And now Simmons has three. Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of a funny comparison.
So we'll see what happens with this, but it's not looking good. I'm thinking, my prediction, they're gonna get rid of Goodell. Next commissioner is going to take a policy where it's up to the teams to discipline players. Like, the NFL themselves is not going to be in that business anymore.
Because, you think so?
Yeah, I saw an article today that was arguing that they really shouldn't be involved with that, and it just makes sense. Like, why even involve like the what they called the shield? You know, why tarnish the shield of the NFL when you could just leave that up to the individual teams to kind of take the heat? You know,
it makes sense. Yeah, it really does make sense for them to leave it up to the teams. And it just seems like it causes more delay than anything. Like, the teams seem far more ready to, at least in some ways, react to the situation rather than letting it go through the proper channels. It always seems to take an extra week or something when the NFL gets involved.
Yeah. That's true.
It's like any bureaucracy.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, I have such a terrible time saying that.
There's a lot of vowels. I think that's tricky for anybody, you know?
Well, thanks. I'm glad I have an excuse now for screwing that one up on a consistent basis.
Yeah, come on. Are you kidding me with those vowels? Come on.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much I don't know. Simmons has been down before. I'm not sure how much it's going to change him, to be honest with you. Like, and it was kind of funny that really their reporting was the one that painted Roger Goodell as a liar.
ESPN. Themselves, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, hold on, like, you're basically saying that And really, the new report says it too, that they got the tape in April. Even if he literally didn't see it still, which could technically be true, since only the NFL security chief right now is confirmed as having gotten it.
Right, so it may not have gotten to the big boss man.
Yeah, there's still a possibility. I find it highly unlikely.
And I guess that's the thing, like, as far as Simmons goes, like, technically, there's no way he can know for sure that he was a liar, you know? That's his opinion.
Right.
So it's like, I can understand why he would be suspended, although it is interesting that it's for more time than Ray Rice originally was. That is a cruel irony in this situation.
Yep. It's pretty funny, but it's also funny that it's conveniently right before, because I think I've mentioned on a number of occasions that I've stopped reading him for the most part because he basically just talks about basketball, and since it's like my least to none interest for a professional sport, I don't really read him that much anymore. So like I know that I have him on Twitter, but I don't feel like I see him on there as much anymore. Anyway, he's probably busy doing other Grantland editoring stuff and podcasts and that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess just because he concentrates on the basketball, I don't pay that much attention to him anymore.
No, I just thought it was interesting, and I listened to some of those clips from his podcast, and yeah, I mean, he probably said some things he shouldn't have, but he may have been right, I guess, but he could have just as easily have been wrong.
Yeah, he really could have gone about that by being a little more alleged and may error is probably. And I find it hard to believe if he would have maybe thrown around a couple of more of those types of wordings. Yeah. He probably would have been okay. But he kind of went straight for the jugular, one might say.
Yeah, which puts me in mind of someone else that we've come across who has kind of gone for the jugular in a similar way, if not even more so. This was a young woman in Alaska who was a, I guess, former news reporter.
Well, she is now a former news reporter. This is another one that hit early this week.
Yeah.
Because how does everyone not play a fuck it, I quit quote from a news anchor?
Right. So if maybe you haven't seen this already,
yeah, if you've somehow not looked at the internet this week and then downloaded our podcast,
this is maybe you're on dial-up still and it takes a really long time to download, and so you choose to use your bandwidth just for this podcast, which I completely understand. You've made a wise choice, but yeah, there was a news reporter in Alaska. Apparently in Alaska, there's a ballot issue coming up now that they're possibly going to be legalizing medical marijuana, was it?
You know what? That was the other thing that I did.
Or is it just full-on recreational marijuana?
Just because the only part of the clip that I've seen, the initial clip, is her just going, like, shortly before she says, "Oh, fuck it, I quit." Just, like just seconds before that. So I wasn't even sure what the ballot was for. I haven't seen the full news clip.
Yeah.
So is that's what it was? It was a medical marijuana?
Yeah. So she vote. Yeah, so she is, she revealed herself to be, behind, I guess, this business that is for this ballot measure. And so she basically was kind of advocating for it on the air there at the end of her report, it looked like. And then you know, finished things off by saying, well, I guess as for this job, I don't really have a choice, but fuck it, I quit. And so she walked out. Now, I have to assume, and I don't know what you think, or maybe you know, was this had to have been like the 11 o'clock news, right? She wasn't doing this midday.
I did not honestly check to see which time of the day this news program happened to be on.
You know, as a father of a young child, I guess I would prefer that she did this at a late hour when the kids are probably going to be asleep.
I would hope that this would be the late night edition.
Okay, well, let's just take that as a given. Set that aside for now, and then speaking of maybe going for it, I don't know, maybe a little too much, but it's almost a little too erratic to get your point across at a certain point. Does that like the dropping the F-bomb seems like it was unnecessary to me. I don't know.
Yeah, quitting like a regular human being after the report, maybe, would probably suffice. You're gonna definitely get more eyeballs on, and then this was the video clip that you sent me, was like, her video after she did this.
Right, and I thought it was, I mean, she's very passionate in her, advocacy. But
most definitely,
you know, and it was just kind of funny to me because she still had her news reporter persona that she was using to give this video and like talking about, you know, how much it's ridiculous that people can't smoke pot. And it's just not something, it's like a weird juxtaposition because it was very, you know, professional in presentation.
Yeah, because that is the one thing, is that some people might have a hard time taking her seriously after the stunt that she pulled.
Yeah, that, I mean, it could be a little counterproductive.
Although
I did do a little, you know, like I said, we're all about the latest and greatest. I checked her crowdfunding page on Indiegogo, and out of her $5,000 goal, she's raised over $10,000 so far. So,
wow.
It seems to be working out okay, at least.
So, is Indiegogo anything like Kickstarter?
Yes.
Oh, man.
They've got somewhat different terms, but yeah, it's a similar idea.
Outstanding. Yeah, I can only think about South Park from last week now. Or last night, I should say.
What was it?
Because they, Cartman and the boys, since the Washington Redskins wasn't trademarked anymore.
Yeah.
Because they pulled that, they were using the Washington Redskins as a company name.
Oh, okay.
And they were doing it, or they were building a company so that they could do nothing and just get paid. And they were going through Kickstarter. you know, all the people at Kickstarter HQ is like, how awesome is this? We don't do anything and we collect 5%.
So it was a little dig on Kickstarter and the
Washington
team.
Yeah, it was a twofer.
Yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous that they haven't changed their name. I mean, come on. Good Lord. This is 2014. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really care one way or the other, to be honest with you. I guess I understand the argument against it, and I guess I more agree with that, but it's, you know, there hasn't been an uprising or anything because of it. Like, it seems like
that's just because there's no more Indians left.
Yeah, but thanks. even then though, there's almost always an argument that some of them say that it's okay, and some of them say that it's they understand that it's well, the Redskin one is worse than some of the other ones. because chiefs and, well, Indians is a pretty vague term.
Right. The tribe.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the Indians, so. Yeah. And the tribe is pretty vague itself.
That's true. The Braves?
Yeah, and, you know, there are certain people that make the argument that, and I don't disagree that some of them are terms of respect.
Yeah.
Not necessarily derogatory. Redskins is certainly, was in the derogatory one. But to be honest with you, I don't remember it, and again, it's probably just because they're on reservations for the most part. You know, it's not one of those ones that I heard growing up. It I don't feel like it was common use. Like, if someone hadn't informed me that that was a bad word, I would not have known it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I grew up just knowing the team, and I didn't think anything of it for a longish time.
Yeah, but I guess I think about it like, if you could think about, you know, using it in different, you know, like saying the yellow skins or the black skins or the white skins, like, it just seems pretty creepy to me. Like, I'm not a fan of it myself. And then if, you know, I guess that's not as important in the scheme of things, but there are, I would say, I believe it's a majority of, you know, the Indians say that they think that that term is offensive. And it's like, if that's true, then, you know, why not change it to something else? Like, if you're really using a term like that that people don't like, then it's
gotcha.
Like...
Gotcha. I guess I didn't, haven't really looked at the numbers from the Indians as far as the like and dislike of that. And, yeah, if there's the majority, it seems like there's a good time to change it. And you're just going to get more sales out of it.
That's true. You can sell new merchandise.
You got to sell new merch.
Exactly. You guys, Daniel Snyder, you're really dropping a ball on this one, buddy. Man, that guy seems like a real dick. I don't know him, but geez.
And he had a pretty funny cameo with the Goodell bot. In South Park, because they are not getting what they paid for out of the Goodell bot, evidently.
The Goodell bot. That's funny.
Oh, man. Well, there was the Trail of Tears for the American Indians heading out west.
That's true.
In one of our other topics that that we could talk about that involved tears, was a report that you saw last week, studying whether animals actually cry for the same reasons that us humans do.
Yeah. By the way, we're going to use this clip when we submit as a submission for the. Segue of the year, the podcast segue of the year.
you like that?
Yes. Yeah. Animals crying. I think, you know, you and I are both dog owners. No, I don't think that. I know that. But I, you know, I would say, and I think you would as well, that it does seem that dogs have, they seem to be expressing emotions.
Yeah, I think this is a bit of, scientists are a bit of a pain in the ass sometimes topic.
Hmm.
I think that they're like, you know what, we've given them their child and then ripped it away from them, and they've started to cry afterwards. We're not sure if this is sadness. I'm like, yes, it is, you dick. Like, you don't need to quantify it with some goddamn number. Like, if it's an immediate reaction after something, a large loss has happened, yes. Like, I don't need to figure out whether there's the same stimuli in my body and in the dog's body.
Right. You know, I guess it is, you know, it brings the question, like, how do we know when other people are sad? Do we have to, like, hook a machine up to them to be able to tell if, you know, are they really sad? I don't know. I can't tell from their facial expressions.
Well, and that was the one thing that they had mentioned in the article. Like, there's all kinds of reasons to cry. And I don't know if that was meant to say, oh, maybe they were happy when the kid was being taken away from them.
Like, oh my gosh.
a burden has been lifted from me.
This is wonderful. Oh, finally. No, yeah.
I can go out in the town and party now.
All right.
I can go where all the cool goats are now. I don't have any kids.
No kids. I like that. Because there's a goat.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. Now, I guess it's a little bit tricky,
but,
because but people react in different ways to different things. But you can usually tell if they're, what kind of mood somebody's in.
Yeah, I do agree, but then, that was the other point that I was going to get to, is that you can't tell exactly. You know,
there's no because way of knowing that somebody else, you know, what are they feeling? Like, you never know for sure, you know?
Right. So, I mean, I'm not sure if their baseline was just studying people. Like, what do they do? Do they rip their kids away from them? Like, do they do, like, a surprise visit where, like, a van comes in and, like, knocks out the mother and smuggles away the child? To see how two human parents react to it?
I mean,
is that how you figure out how the chemical reaction is the same in two different bodies?
Well, I have a feeling it's not. There are certain rules against human experimentation, but...
Well, then they're not experimenting correctly to boot.
But that is interesting, though, because if you find out, and I think that's part of the problem here, is that scientists are sort of perversely, their incentive is to say that animals don't, you know, other animals don't have feelings, because then you couldn't really ethically experiment on them, right? I mean, if it turns out that they do find that, you know, animals have emotions just like people do, then it's like, maybe you should not be tearing their children away from them, their kids.
Right. Yeah. It would certainly give some of them, well, some of them. And that, I mean, that's the other thing, is that some people don't test on animals. So, I mean,
right.
They either believe that they do have some emotion or some type of, you know, better way of life than to being quite literally a guinea pig.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is, it does make you think. But, yeah, I mean, you just have to kind of tell, I guess. Like, so, I guess at some point, though, like some animal, there has to exist an animal that can't feel emotion. Don't you think? Like, a simple animal.
It's possible. I would guess it would be a little bit harder to gauge on, say, a shark.
Well, yeah, or like an insect, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, insects, that would be pretty hard to judge.
Right, because I guess they don't even have, like, pain receptors.
Oh.
Like, if you pull off an ant's leg, like, they'll squirm around like crazy while you're holding them, but then once you put them down... Like, they'll just walk away. Like, they're not in pain because they actually don't have those nerve receptors to feel pain.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah. So at some point, you know, and maybe it's like lizards or mammals you know, there has to be a certain point where you're complex enough to be able to experience emotions. I just don't know where that dividing line is.
Right. Yeah, and I think almost all of the animals that they mentioned in it, it just seemed like to me that there were larger animals, or at least more cognizant ones. So that's the other reason I think that I was kind of weirded out by the whole thing, or was annoyed by the whole thing.
Yeah.
because dogs were definitely in there, and even if you can't maybe get every emotion, and you're kind of putting some stuff onto them, for the most part, you have, you know, I mean, you do things different ways. You discipline them and whatnot when you feel like they're in a different mood, or they're just being ornery or something. So, I mean, there's definitely a change in behavior at a minimum.
Yeah, and I guess there's always the...
Even if it isn't emotion, there's definitely a behavior that gets attached that's very similar to ours.
Yes, to me. Based on the stimulus that they... Or events that happen, they kind of react in a similar way sometimes. Yeah.
Right.
Like you say, you're losing your child, or... yeah, I mean, there was that... Did you see that documentary, Blackfish?
No, I did not watch that documentary.
Yeah, I saw that one. I mean, that's a bummer. But, yeah, the killer whales definitely seem to have some kind of a inner life and be able to feel emotions.
Oh, okay.
And you think about, you know, they have these huge brains. It's just interesting. They could, who knows what they're thinking, I guess, but,
yeah, you know. we don't have enough research on land, and we definitely don't have enough on sea.
Yeah. I guess.
We are even further behind on the curve in that department.
So I guess, the scientists, you know, go out there and, stop being cruel to animals, but figure out what the hell's going on. Come on.
Get with it.
Come on, scientists. It's 2014. Where's our flying cars?
Oh,
am
yeah.
Am I right?
Chimpanzees, monkeys, dogs, and rodents. And I guess I always think about the rodents because my ex-wife never wanted to feed our snake. Rats. Even though Fluffy was large enough to consume a rat, she said that they felt too many emotions, so they did not. She did not want to feed it that. She was fine with giving it mice because they were pretty much brainless.
Interesting. So she draws the line between rats and mice.
Yeah. Yep.
Huh. Well, I don't know if there's any scientific. Backing for that, but knowing your ex-wife, I'm gonna say no. But you never know, because mice would seem to have a similar brain to rats, even if smaller. But they're both mammals, at least. Like we're not talking about a fish or insect or spider.
Yeah, they are pretty similar.
A mollusk. A coral, you know, these things, who knows, man,
who knows,
are scientists out there hooking these machines up to coral reefs? I don't think so. They could be having all kinds of inner life that we don't know about. There could be coral reef epic sagas that they tell to each other. We have no clue. We wouldn't have a clue. Come on, scientists, get with it.
Get your shit together, man.
So, can you believe it's about that time here?
Yeah, it is about that time. And I'm trying to figure out if I feel like starting this part, because I haven't brought this up on the air, I don't think. But for my wedding next year, I'm going to be making my own beer. And one of the possibilities of copying or at least making similar happens to be one of Great Lakes' fine choices this time of the year. No, they do not have a pumpkin beer. They have Nosferatu, which is an imperial red ale, and it's pretty goddamn tasty.
Named after the famous vampire.
Yes, named after the famous vampire. It is very malty, which is right in my wheelhouse. And yeah, it has a cool picture of the Bela Lugosi style vampire, and it's 8% alcohol, which is pretty handy.
You know, the days are getting shorter. You need something to warm your body on these chilly nights. So that fits the bill. I didn't get to try that. I had the Brew Free or Die IPA from
I know it right now, Ken, still.
21st Amendment Brewery in San Francisco. And I like it. It's got a good, you know, we talk about IPAs a lot on here. But
And I don't know if you remember, that was the first beer I had at the Columbus Winter Beer Festival.
Oh, the famous, yes.
I remember. Yes, in which we both drank entirely too much alcohol.
Probably sampled a few too many beers that evening.
Yes, yes, we did.
Yeah. But we got through it somehow.
Yep, and we live to tell more podcasts. Yeah. Well, what did we have this week? Did we just... Oh, we just had the audio experience this week. No Stunt Granny Audio. No We Watch Stuff. It was a light week on podcasts.
Well, we're not slacking off, at least, you know.
Thank goodness. Yeah. You get two doses this week. Stunt Granny Audio, or the audio experience with Dusty and Jeremy, Ken and I. And, we out?
Yeah, I think so, man. It's been a great show. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yep. Just, throw some rice on us as we head out of the church or the podcast.
Right. Although that is cruel to birds.
Yes.
Who may or may not have emotions.